Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 490. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, we knew it would come. It's just a couple days left in August. We're going to be in September. It's going to be Labor Day soon. I can't believe it. But at the same time, hey, it'll start to be cooler. Books will hopefully start to sell a little bit better. How you feeling, Claire?
Great, Brian. I have great energy this week. I had it last week. It's just like I'm back in that phase. I think maybe in my brain, I'm like, all right, I survived the summer. Like all the little microbes and stuff that live inside me thought that they were not going to survive, but we did it. So, I guess I should knock on wood. We're not there yet. But I feel good. I'm getting a lot done. I'm just trying not to overthink how much I'm getting done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll be okay when things shift again.
Yeah.
How about you, Brian? Now that some of your daily daddy duties are done.
The triple D's. So, I do have basically an extra 2 hours in my day now of workable time, and will theoretically through the start of June, which is very, very nice. I'm sure all parents are breathing a collective sigh of relief, especially all author parents. And so I'm really excited to have that additional time. I'm excited that my daughter gets to keep on learning and growing, and she loves reading, and I'm basically fueling the bank accounts of pretty much every KU children's book author these days, because we're going through a bunch, a lot of them about scatological humor, which is great. And I'm so glad you authors have created these books so that my daughter can giggle along with them as she steals my phone. So that is great. And I'm really excited, of course, with these changes. There's going to be more free, wonderful, fun things for authors. I've got a free class on how to write your blurb first, so that you can actually make sure that your blurb is hitting those genre conventions even before you write the book. We have a good story of our good friend Trixie, who we helped to make sure her first blurb in that series was a book that was actually going to be written to the cozy paranormal cozy market. And so that definitely inspired this webinar. And that'll be on Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Claire, do you have any upcomings that the peoples should know about before we get into the show?
Absolutely. The Liberated Writer Course. I am very excited about this. I don't know that I've done anything this helpful in my life before, so that makes me feel pretty good. So that is coming up, and there is a slight discount on it right now. And so if you go to liberatedwriter.com, you can check it out, sign up. There are payment options, so, you know, whatever your budget. And it's going to be October through November, so it's going to give you a lot to think about. And if you take some time off for the holidays, it's going to be a perfect time to let some of these concepts settle, consider what sort of questions you have, and build ahead of 2024.
Awesome. I love that. That's liberatedwriter.com.
Yep.
Wonderful. So getting into the show here, previous week's question: what about the Seattle Kraken's failed partnership with BookTok Story stands out to you the most, and why? Miranda McGuire said, "It reminds me why I try to stay off TikTok lately. Every time I open the Clock app, it is drama." She uses the drama emoji.
And then Amy Martinson, author, said, just one more reason why I don't do TikTok. I'll put my energy into strengthening my email list and writing more words.
Very nice, Amy. And Jeffries Brooks said that not enough people are levying any blame on a team that was fine with exploiting their players until it became unpopular. Shrug.
Yep.
Claire, we didn't talk so much about that, but it's very, very true, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm sure there's all kinds of like consent, like, you know, clauses in the contracts with these players where the team can use their likeness, blah, blah, blah. I don't know that there was a thirst trap clause. So it does, it does ask some kind of interesting questions there about how much say these players who are human beings have in any of this.
Yeah. Thirst trap clause. I've been signing those left and right lately. Left and right. Well, let's get into the top story. Before that, you can always answer the question of the week over at sellmorebookshow.com or in the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group, and your answer may just get read onto the air for ones and dozens of people to hear.
Make sure you include as many emojis as possible so we have to figure out how to vocalize it.
Yes, please, 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 please. All right. So the top story of the week is the niche sitch. Niche marketing frees us, lets us be ourselves, and can be a lot of fun, says author Christine Catherine Rush in a post on her blog. There's incredible power in niche marketing, as the recent success of the Barbie movie illustrates. Quote, because Barbie herself is the ultimate niche, writes Rush. She was a small part of Mattel's product line when she was introduced, but grew into a force, end quote. Barbie has been a niche product for over 64 years. She's not for everyone, and she doesn't try to be. Leaning into her true self, she went from a side product in a budding toy company to a beloved and familiar phenomenon, all through niche marketing and embracing what her fans love from her. Quote, I think that's what excites me the most about niche marketing, says the author. We can be creative in a niche space. It's hard to remember now that Barbie was unique when she started out. There was nothing else like her, no Barbie knockoffs, no other fashion dolls, no dolls for boys either, just Barbie, end quote. Whether it's dolls or books, niche marketing lets you experiment with very little risk, a limited budget, and for a short period of time, and target your exact niche reader your way. Quote, if your books live 64 years like Barbie has, then they will grow beyond you and whatever you plan for them, and you certainly won't get there by marketing everything like everyone else, end quote. I haven't told my daughter that I went to see the Barbie movie with my wife, but I did. And I love this. As Rush was kind of explaining the niche aspects of this and what fans come to Barbie for, thinking about the trademarked shirts and costumes that when they were getting thrown out of the house by Ryan Gosling's Ken, and them floating in the air for a second with the little ad on them before they plummeted down. That it really fits. It's like this and the Super Mario movie succeeded based on tapping into the nostalgia, but Barbie was very much a you know, people thought, studio executives thinking like, oh, this is a woman project. It's very, you know, it's very specific. And now it is the top earning movie of 2023. Claire, what are your thoughts on this?
I think that this is a great take. And I love this idea she presents of, it starts small, but if you just stick around, this niche can become something much, much bigger. I think that especially when you do something that's a little bit weird, you're playing into that unique factor where people can't get it elsewhere. And by the time they can, you're such the original that it's, you know, clear that they're a knockoff. But really connecting to It may be a weird project. It may be a strange book you're writing or a strange genre you're writing, but there's a little bit of strangeness in everyone. Mm. And so it could spread just because you're going to have your diehard fans who are going to be like, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And I had no idea. And that may be a very small circle. Over time, it can really grow. And I love that idea personally. I mean, that's kind of the approach I take. But I think it's important for anyone listening who's kind of new to writing, maybe within the last few years, or didn't come from that background of, you know, literature and writing and all that, to know that you have permission to do the thing you want to do.
Yeah.
There's no like, but can I do this? Can I get away with this? It's like, well, try it. Like, there's a reason that your heart and your mind are telling you, this is how I want to write the story. So just give it a shot. And it may be a little weird, but that doesn't mean that it'll never be a success. And I think, you know, obviously the way we define success can be that we wrote the thing we wanted to write. So
right.
What about you, Brian? What stood out to you about this?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, Greta Gerwig is amazing. She's directed some fantastic movies prior to this, and her husband wrote this movie, and it was very weird. It's a very weird movie. It is not a mainstream movie, and I'm to a certain extent surprised it's made $1 billion, but I'm also not, because it's a juggernaut. So
right. I mean, I've gone multiple times.
Oh, that's awesome. I want to go again. But here's my question. Greta Gerwig kind of honed her voice and in the indie scene, and kind of started working on these bigger indie movies before she tackled this big, weird, amazing personal project. Do you think that authors should take a page from that and not necessarily, I don't think Greta Gerwig's ever been really mainstream, but to think about, like, should you hone your craft on smaller things and maybe not as risky projects first before you do something incredibly weird, or do you go out of the gate with something incredibly weird?
I think that can be a very valid and strategic approach to, you know, practice short stories. And I think that, you know, Christine Catherine Rush would agree. She does a lot of short story writing.
Yep. But
that's a great place to really hone, like you said, hone your craft before you go after this big, meaningful project for yourself. I mean, all of them, you know, you can make all of them meaningful, but like, there was so much of Greta Gerwig in this. And I mean, not only did she write an amazing script, but I imagine all the conversations she had to have to convince, to, you know, describe her vision and convince people that they should get on board with it. Because there's a lot, and you're like, Mattel approved that?
Yeah.
And so she had to really, like, be able to express her vision, which I think is something that gets easier the more you are actually writing books, to be able to express what the book is about and why you're doing exactly what you're doing, kind of justifying the choices that you've made.
I love that. Awesome. Let's get into our hot potatoes, wisdom. Claire, what are some of the ways an author can use niche marketing to draw attention to their books?
There are so many ways to use, you say niche, I'll say niche.
You can say it better.
Sorry.
My title wouldn't have worked.
Says, I know, your title was so good.
My title, the niche, siche.
Sorry. Niche, quiche, I don't know.
Ooh, the niche, quiche.
Listen, I hate me more than anyone hates me, so don't come at me for the niche. I think that using niche marketing can be really effective if you know what your niche is. And I think that is something that authors struggle with a lot, is figuring out what their niche is and who is in it. But once you figure that out, you can actually market to channels that are not necessarily being targeted for books. Mm. So you can, you know, maybe your target is like a foreign language, you know, foreign language nerds, you know, mm-hmm. and like, ooh, they're, you know, I got to go find some French clubs and just like hand this out, right? A little guerrilla marketing. Or just different groups of people so that you have alternate routes to reach people who aren't constantly being bombarded, right? Advertising through Amazon is great. It can be very effective. I've had a lot of success with it, but you're competing against a bunch of other books, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of books coming at people. But I think it's important to note that when you're doing any sort of niche marketing, it's probably going to be a slower build, and sometimes just one-to-one marketing, or, you know, you're talking to a small group or focusing on smaller individual groups at a time, it's going to be a slower build, generally speaking. Sometimes it'll take off, and there, you know, there's all kinds of approaches where you can, you know, sort of strike gold. But I would just say, prepare yourself. It's going to be a slower march, but you're going to have really loyal fans if you're delivering something that no one or very few people are.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
All right, Brian. Since niche marketing can be a long game, how can authors mix niche marketing strategies with more mainstream marketing to see quicker results?
So this kind of marketing, niche marketing, is the long game, just like Claire just mentioned. And so if you want to see those results quicker, you can use the typical platforms we use to run ads, like Facebook or Amazon. You can do things like email list swaps with people in your genre to try to draw attention to things. But you're just going to have to keep in mind that, because part of niche marketing is about it being a little weird and not everybody's cup of tea, you will reach more people by virtue of running ads, by virtue of list swaps, by virtue of collaborations. But there are still going to be a lot of people who are not your people within that. And you just kind of have to suck it up and say, okay, I'm going to get a few people who, if maybe I had done something less weird, would have connected with, but now I'm going to find more people who love this stuff. And so I think using a little bit of mainstream is okay, but don't assume that it's going to scale infinitely, because that's just not how things usually work. Of course, the Barbie movie being a little bit of an exception to the rule there. But if you do a little bit of mainstream and you show the weirdness there, there is always the chance that it could go viral. But mostly it will not, and you'll just find a few more people, and that's still good too.
So you're telling me that there are intrinsic rewards in being weird Barbie?
Oh my gosh, so many, especially if you do splits all the time.
Yeah, great for opening up the hips, you know?
Yeah, just those hip flexors. Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that this was a really fun story, and big thank you to Roland for hunting this down. We haven't thanked Roland in a while, but Roland's still crushing it.
Week after week.
He does great. He does great work. So we've got a lightning round. Pa-choo. Pew, pew, pew.
Lightning crack.
Lightning. Crack. Crackle. Pop. So Claire, Written Word Media says that email is possibly the cheapest yet most reliable and targeted marketing channel available. Do you agree?
I agree with Written Word Media that email is possibly the cheapest yet most reliable and targeted marketing channel available for authors. It's hard to disagree with this, because it's just, you're going to have a warmer audience on your email list than basically anywhere else. So there are ways to make email very ineffective, but it's harder to screw it up, frankly. As long as you are emailing with some frequency, but even then, you know, sometimes you go for a couple of months just saying someone could, not that I have. And then you pop back in and you go, hey, here's what was going on. And people will oftentimes be very excited for that. So
yeah,
every time I send an email, I sell books. That's just how, I mean, it may not be, you know, just a windfall of sales, but every time I'm sending, I'm seeing book sales go up, because I have my book links and pictures in the footer of every email. So just by doing that, I'm automatically selling books, but I'm also creating relationships that sell books a lot easier in the future.
I love that. It's that know, like, and trust factor.
Mm-hmm.
And email does that.
All right, Brian, What's your number one tip for authors wanting to get better at email marketing?
My number one tip for authors looking to get better at email marketing is to write your emails that go to your automatic email sequence before you get a single subscriber. Because too many authors do this reverse. They get their first couple thousand or something, or even their first dozen, and they just have not made any effort to connect with these people. But if you set it up first, if you do it first, if you build the foundation first, then you put the house on top of it, it's going to be a lot stronger. So go ahead and write those automatic emails first. You can always tweak them later, but if they're there, at least those readers are getting something from you when they join your list.
Yeah, that is so helpful. And it reminds me that I need to redo my email sequences, my onboarding sequences. They are a little bit old. I think that's my quarter four project.
You want to hear old? People subscribe to the Sell More Book Show email list. It's pretty bad.
I don't think I knew we had one.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Okay. So, Claire, according to BookBub, one of the first ways to pivot into direct selling is to send readers to your site's store rather than to a retailer or a universal link. Do you see yourself doing that at some point in your career?
Direct selling is definitely in my vision, my field of vision right now. Direct selling my books. It is one of those projects that's like queued up. As soon as I finish one big project, I move on to the next. And so I think it will probably happen. I'll be doing that early 2024, probably with the help of an assistant. She's awesome. So yes, that is totally in my view. And I will be sending people directly to my site. I'm not going to be giving a bunch of options. I'll send them to my site. If they go to my site and they don't want to buy from there, they can go search it on Amazon. They can do whatever they want. So yeah, that will be, because I really want customers to buy from me. And I think that that's something I can do. And I think that plays to my strengths. So yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Awesome.
Brian, how do you know when it's time to go direct versus letting the stores handle the sales and product delivery?
So it may be time to go direct if you've built up a decent following, you have a list with a few thousand people, and you don't have to go all in with direct selling. You can always try a couple projects direct, a couple projects not direct. But you can do direct first and then release to the retailers, as some direct sellers do. You can just be wide and have your book in direct sales. But you know, if you have gotten tired of all the tomfoolery of the retailers, then it might be time to say, look, it's going to cost more money. It's going to take more time to get things set up in a direct sales kind of way. But when people buy from you directly, as I've been fortunate enough to be able to do with my author products and some of my books over the last few years, you get their email address. And if you get an email address, you have a way to reach your customers. And right now, Amazon, you know, what with the Amazon followers or any of the other retailers, does not give you this incredible, incredible gift. And you need to take advantage of it if you are doing direct selling. And if you're not doing direct selling and you want to build your email list, this is a nice way to do it.
Love that.
Thank you. So, Claire, how would you say that direct sales technologies or how would you say that direct sales technologies over the last couple of years have changed the industry, have changed the game for authors?
There's a lot more technology available now for direct selling that makes all of the different pieces easier. Mm. For instance, there are now subscription services you can use that will handle the sales tax for you. Sales tax, I know, is a big thing. People get into direct selling and they hit the point where they're like, wait, what's a nexus of sale? Like, what is this? And it's like, oh no, this is too big. I'm done. So there's all kinds of good services for that. And a lot of it is new to the book industry, but has been around for a really long time for internet marketing. So it's just that authors are finding out about more technology that already exists, and kind of we have to up our game with marketing. If we want to keep selling the way we sold 4 years ago, 3 years ago, we have to keep upping our game because the market is changing. So there are a lot of good technologies, and I know that it can be easy to get like lost in the quagmire of trying to get them all to work together seamlessly. I would say start with some good courses. Find a direct sales course that will just walk you through it, and then do exactly what they tell you to do.
Wait, Claire, you're saying I should get a course and then not do half of it just on my own blindly without watching the videos? And I should actually just do 100% of what the course tells me to do?
Listen, it's a free country, Brian, but I do love when people will take a course and then only pay attention to 50% and then send emails to the course runner who about basic questions that are already answered in the course. I do love that. But I would say if you're going to do something like direct sales, there is a lot of technology.
Yeah.
Someone's figured it out. Don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. Agreed. I've never received an email like the one you've said. Okay, so Claire, we need a question of the week. We were talking about niche or niche marketing. Maybe the question should be,
How do you pronounce it?
No, that can be the sub question. So sub question is, do you pronounce niche like Fitch or niche like quiche? You can answer that. But what's our actual question? Maybe about the weirdness.
Yeah, I would say, have you thought about, or could you describe the weirdness that your books offer that can't be found anywhere else?
I like that. Can you describe the weirdness that your books offer that can't be found anywhere else? Sub question, how do you pronounce that word? You can answer those questions in the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group or at sellmorebookshow.com. So people should all go to liberatedwriter.com, of course, to check out the October course that then they should do 100% of what is suggested in there. Anything else that people should keep an eye out for, Claire? You're going to be at some conferences.
I am. Yeah, I'm going to be at BFA Con up in Minneapolis in October. October. I have my retreat coming up in October as well, but that's all sold out. Although if anyone's interested, there is a wait list for the next one. That's at liberatedwriter.com. And then, yeah, I think that's it. I'm going to do like a Comic-Con in November, but that's more in my fiction capacity. And then, yeah. I have a release coming up for my fiction in 2 weeks, and I'm just prepping for that.
Very exciting. And I've got my How to Write Your Blurb First webinar. Claire, I'll have to throw you that link so that we can throw it to the team. But that's what's coming up for us. I'm very happy to have this opportunity to talk to all of you every single week. So thank you. And I hope that you are just a happy camper that we are out of summer camp season. So for Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of bookselling, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week for episode 491. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling!